Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Thursday, 28 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Komala Mapuwani. I want to touch on British American Tobacco results, the AVI update as well. And AVI folks, they protect margins like it's the I suppose the most important thing you are in your business. We're talking to Simikela Zwani from FNB. Impact of MPC rising rates on our cash, but also our equity investments. We've touched on equity that do well, what are some of them are they going to struggle? And then Elise Kruger, Bank South Africa data showing local salaries not keeping track with inflation, but also showing that we are picking up some extra jobs. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Transnet swings from a 8 billion rand full-year loss to a 5 billion rand profit. They also get their first unqualified audit in 4 years. Congrats to Portia Derby and team. Business day, Fed rates hikes 75 basis points for second time, clamping down on inflation. The most aggressive tightening in more than a generation, but we also, they were kind of saying maybe we go a little bit easier from here, or maybe that's reading too much in the tea leaves. Morning markets, everything's green. US S&P up just over 2.5%. NASDAQ up 4.25%. In Sydney, we've got Asia. We've got Sydney up 2/3%, and Tokyo up 1/3%. Commodities, we've got gold, $1,754. Brent, $107.97. Platinum, $884 an ounce. Palladium, $2,043 an ounce. Rand, $16.68. Top 40 looking for buy at a 225-point open. That's about 0.4%. That as Tencent trades up 0.5% in the Hong Kong break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chenny now with Komala Mapuwani, portfolio manager at Absa Asset Management. Komala, appreciate the early morning time. British American Tobacco results yesterday. I mean, they're in a sense a fairly boring company. The numbers are sort of low to mid single digits. They announced their full year dividend payments quarterly back in February. A fairly defensive. And the point that stood out to me was the comment from CEO, which said consumers are feeling the impact of inflation. We're currently seeing no significant change in global elasticities. In other words, they can kind of hold their pricing power. Is this a stock worth looking at?
So it's a stock that we have been looking at, but it's just been languishing for the longest time.
Yeah.
I think the overhang in terms of legislation from the Fed, number one, has been a large part of the drawback. But as we go on, you've seen the share price is kind of picking up at a snail's pace. And I think that's just for people to get a sense of exactly where the chips all lie. So I think the outstanding thing for these results was the next generation products. That's what everyone's been looking out for, up 45%. And slowly but surely getting some sort of materiality in terms of its contribution to revenue. So, yeah, as you've mentioned, it sounds like it's defensive, but the market is very, very cautious around it. I think volatility in terms of any legislation changes has been the key thing over the last 24 months.
Yeah, an industry which is always going to be worried about that legislative risk, absolutely. AVI, it was just a trading update. INJ struggling, but aside from that, I mean, not shooting the lights out, but considering the pressure we're seeing from consumers in South Africa, they're doing right, and certainly they're protecting margins. And I know it is the one thing that AVI management says is, you know, margins is paramount.
Absolutely. I think this guidance was very, very well taken by the market, number one. Share price up quite strongly. But I think more importantly, just for food producers in general, we'd all been considering the fact that there have been supply chain issues, there's been load shedding, you know, in terms of pricing, how are they going to be able to pass on the price? But you rightfully say they've been able to protect margins somehow by increasing price. And they've said they've got their hedge policies have been effective as well for them. So they've reined in operating expenses, but have managed to increase top line. So I think that's phenomenal, specifically for food producers who we had been sort of staying away from because the view had been that, you know, the consumer's under pressure, food retailers are going to put pressure on the food producers, costs are going to be up, but they've managed to shoot the lights out.
I mean, they have, and you say you've been staying away from food producers. I mean, I look at the five-year graph here. I mean, they're barely off five-year lows. We talk around a great set of numbers, a great management team, but it wouldn't have been a great investment.
No, absolutely. Depends on where you would have invested.
The pendulum
does swing. But no, rightfully so. It's probably what should have been a defensive sector has really been something either that's, you know, struggled due to inflation or just volatility over the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been inputs, it's been supply chains, it's been inflation, it's been everything. Carmen Meporani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Always appreciate the early morning insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Samikelo Zwani, product head at FNB Wealth and Investments. I want to touch on the impact of rising rates on cash and equity investments. Samikelo, appreciate the early morning time. With other guests, we've touched on some of the sectors that sort of do better under a rising rate environment, banks and insurers particularly that. But the flip side is those that are going to struggle, and that's going to be retail and consumer facing. We've just been talking food producers with my previous guest, and of course companies with debt levels, because that debt suddenly is going to cost more.
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to the listeners. Yes, absolutely, absolutely right. I mean, the change or the rise in interest rates, which we find ourselves in right now, is definitely affecting the different asset classes in different ways. As you've just mentioned right now, your consumer goods, they're faced with a situation whereby the consumers actually do not have enough disposable income to spend. So yeah, there won't be enough, you know, walking in the shops, you know, so that they can actually be purchasing, and which will translate into a lower upper line in terms of their income statement, and that's going to translate into lower valuations. So they will definitely be affected in that particular way. But other companies in other industries are also affected in different ways. Mm-hmm. If you look at the banks, you know, they've got people who've got outstanding mortgages, and then those mortgages now are yielding higher interest rates. And so that's probably having a positive impact on them. And any new debt, people are taking up new debt or new mortgages or new car loans, you know, that is going to be slightly more expensive, and they're actually making more money. And companies which are actually in high debt levels, those companies are actually faced with the situation whereby they actually have to, you know, pay that debt at a higher price. So they will definitely be affected with lower valuations in terms of their share prices.
And we've certainly seen the evidence, and it's no surprise that the consumers are struggling. I mean, it's simply, it's not just, you know, the fact that rates are higher, and of course if you've got debt, that means you're paying more, but it is that inflation coming through, and any consumer facing business right now is going to be finding a much tougher environment out there.
Absolutely, Simon. I mean, it's a double whammy. I mean, if you look at, you know, our interest, our inflation levels, we're in a rising environment, you know, and above our, the focus is above our, you know, benchmark target of the Reserve Bank between 3 and 6%. So in general, consumers are just experiencing a situation whereby, you know, the prices of goods and services are basically high. You know, life is becoming more expensive for them. And then on top of that, you know, the cost of, you know, debt is actually higher as well. So they are finding themselves in this situation whereby, you know, they need to re-strategize, readjust, you know, and the way that they're actually approaching their investments and their savings so that they can actually accommodate this, you know, particular year. So it's very, very important for them to actually try and reduce, you know, unhealthy debt. You know, unhealthy debt is usually short-term debt, you know, debt when you talk about, you know your credit cards, you know, unsecured loans, all those. Avoid them or reduce them if you can at this present moment in time, and then that will actually help you a bit in terms of your financial planning. We always advise as well when we actually sitting with consumers that you should have a healthy, you know, financial lifestyle. You know, first and foremost, spend less than you earn. That helps you a lot, and then at least have some liquidity 3 months, you know, worth of your salary saved. That allows you not to actually, you know, keep on piling debt. So you start having a healthy lifestyle and you do not actually fall, you know, prey to this high, you know, interest rate environment.
Yeah, and give yourself some wiggle room in that space. The other asset class is bonds. And I know coming into this year, a lot of folks were saying that local bonds are attractive. But the problem is with higher repo rate and therefore interest rates, that actually can put some pressure on bonds because we can, instead of buying bonds for our return, we can just go and get cash for our return and get a decent rate on cash.
Absolutely. I mean, you're absolutely right, Simon. You know, the bonds and as well as, you know, cash or fixed deposits, you know, those are competing asset classes. So when, you know, consumers are actually looking at this rising interest rates, then they can actually make a decision and say, listen, instead of going into the bond environment, I would rather actually put the money in cash, which actually now has a, you know, a slightly negative impact on the bonds. You know, you'll find yourself, you know, having, you know, the bonds having, you know, lower prices. Those are actually currently invested that are going to experience, you know, that effect, and that's basically the impact that this has, you know, when it comes to the bond asset class.
Yeah, and of course bonds are that inverse relationship. Yields up, prices down. The last I want to touch on is cash. And yeah, if you've got money in the bank, it depends how you're earning that rate. I mean, if you're getting a fixed rate that you fixed, I don't know, beginning of the year, well, you're under pressure. But if you've got something linked to prime, you are at least seeing that starting to increase as the MPC ups their rate every meeting.
Yes, that's absolutely true, Simon. That's a very, very interesting asset class, you know. So if you are actually sitting with money in the bank and which is actually earning you a variable rate, so you're basically going to be benefiting from this hike because the rate that you're going to be earning now is quite is much higher. But if you are sitting in cash and you fixed it for a term, you won't see that immediate benefit right now because you fixed it at a previous, you know, interest rate level. So those guys are not going to see that immediate benefit right now. But new guys who are coming in and actually fixing it for another term, they'll actually get that benefit because now they're actually fixing it at maybe slightly higher interest rates. So that's the benefit around that asset class. So it's quite an interesting one for the consumers.
Yeah, and it is a point. If you're in a fixed one, then you're going to be squeezed a bit. We'll leave it there. Appreciate the time. Simikelo Zwani, Product Head at FNB Wealth and Investments.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Shana with Elise Kruger, as an independent economist, talking some more Banks of Africa data, this time looking particularly at salaries and how they're struggling to keep up with inflation. Elise, appreciate the early morning time. June data that comes out shows that nominal salaries below the 15,000 rand mark, but perhaps more importantly, lower than they were a year ago, which means it's quite simply with inflation at you know, multi-year highs, you're being squeezed by salaries just not keeping up.
Absolutely, Simon. So I think it is a reflection of two factors. Looking at the Banks of data, how it is compiled, the take-home pay index, it's taking the total value of all salaries paid into bank accounts of South Africans divided by the number of salaries. Yeah. Now, what we've seen in the past, actually 6 months already, is an increase in the number of salaries paid. So that is positive from the point of view of more job creation. Mm. But what we are picking up is that it's really in the lower income category. So that brings down your average nominal wage or nominal salary. So that's one factor. But I think the other part of the story is indeed that the economy is struggling and there's a lot of headwinds and companies now have difficulty in really being able to provide great wage increases to the employees.
Yeah, and that's it. And this is, I mean, we've seen it in the US. I know the last sort of jobs data there, I think wage increase was just over 5%, which sounds like a great number until, you, of course, you come through with inflation at north of 8%, and suddenly you realize you're actually going backwards. And that the problem with it is, my sense is that it kind of almost bakes it in. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you've got the inflation at a higher number than your wage, your salary goes up. That's now set for future years. It puts you potentially behind the curve for forever, but certainly for a while.
Yes, indeed. That wage price spiral is a very, sensitive topic at this point in time, because that's exactly what could result in longer-term inflation and inflation expectations rising. Now, so the higher the actual inflation rate that you feel in your pocket, the higher the wage demand, mm-hmm. and then, you know, that gets embedded into the cost structures of companies. So, yes, you know, the very sort of high inflation numbers that we are seeing in South Africa as well as globally, indeed, it's eroding the purchasing power, and we've seen this in the banks of data with a big drop of like 7.8% in the real salary in the month of June.
Yeah, our purchasing power. That was the phrase I was looking for. And I want to quickly come back to that point you made around actually the number of people employed. That is a silver lining coming out of this. Some 300,000 more salaries in Q2 compared to Q1. And I take your point, there might be lower income salaries and the like, but it is at least putting some money in the pocket of extra people. And that's never a bad thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, we are thinking it might be related to the COVID-19 restrictions mm-hmm. being lifted, you know, from April. So some of the sectors like the entertainment industries and so on, I think might have been adding job opportunities. That's what we are thinking. But that is typically in your temporary workers category or mm-hmm. in the lower income. And that ties into even the first quarter data that ISA has released already, where they indicated a lot of temporary jobs were created as opposed to permanent jobs. So although a permanent job is your first prize, a temporary job is still better than a handout.
Yeah, I take your point. A job's great. You want it to be permanent, and temporary is not ideal, but it's better than nothing. And it probably is. I forgot, of course, pre-April we had all the restrictions. They've subsequently been lifted. We'll leave it there. Appreciate the time. Liz Kruger, independent economist. Thank you very much. Chatting there about that Banks of Africa data, June salaries increasing, but not keeping pace with inflation. And it's that purchasing power that becomes so critical, and it bakes its way in. It's not just, you know, for now, it makes you that little bit further behind the curve until you get salary increases ahead of inflation. So our poll today, Twitter and LinkedIn, is, are your salary increases keeping up with inflation? Perhaps you are, and it's in some cases, maybe not even close. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. And our poll yesterday, chatting with Wayne McCurry about the food retail updates on the JC. There's a good article on MoneyWeb about how Pick and Pay and ShopRite is just eating Woolies lunch in the food space. We asked which you preferred. Two-thirds of you, in fact more than two-thirds of you, said ShopRite. Always ShopRite. Wayne made the point that they've been the leader for a long time, but it's about 15% said Pick and Pay, and certainly they are catching up or maybe have caught up. Just under 10% said nope, none for you, and Woolies in last place with just a few percentage points. And that perhaps more than anything tells the story of Woolies. They are struggling all over the place. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m, podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole Tetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We've got Adrian Saville. We're going to talk U.S. rates and GDP data due this afternoon.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.